Remgro is a company that is synonymous with South Africa Inc. In fact, if you think about, is South Africa going to be improving, then you've got to ask, if it is, Remgro is the stock you want to be in. Well, not surprisingly, it has been quite an uphill battle for Remgro in fairly recent times. I say that because there's a five-year strategy that's been implemented. It's showing very good results, as we'll find out in a moment, from the CEO, Jannie Durant, on the financials that have actually just been released for the 12 months to the end of June. Jannie, thanks for joining us at a pretty busy day in releasing your results. How long have you been doing this now? How long have you been the CEO?
I took over in 2012, so nearly 13 years, nearly, Alex. So it's been a long time.
So this is all old stuff for you, and we...
Always a long day.
Well, thank
you. The morning, so it takes, it's quite a long day, but well, no problem.
Good to be chatting with you. Let's start off with the progress, because you have a five-year plan. The numbers that you delivered today must have been a real pleasure. More than 30% growth in earnings and in dividends. So all going in the right direction. Is this clicking into place then, the strategies that you put in into operation 5 years ago?
Alec, you're absolutely right. We're actually quite proud of the results. It's been a long journey. The journey is not ended. I mean, we started this process just before COVID, and then we got hit by COVID. It's like being punched in the face by Mike Tyson. And then we had to regroup after COVID, and some of our business went through difficult times. The hospital industry went through a difficult time during COVID. I mean, the hospitals were closed. Nurses left. We had to recruit people. It was a difficult time, but I think we've seen now the fruit of our resilience and our patience. We took some of our companies private, as you're quite aware, in that during this time. We took Distell private, merged with Heineken. We took Mediclinic private with probably the biggest shipping company in the world, MSC. So, and then CIVH had his struggles with the Vodacom, a massive deal that we, Vodacom CIVH deal. And I mean, it took 5 years to get regulatory approval, which is just unacceptable in a country that actually wants to create economic growth. So it's been a long, hard battle, but hopefully that imminent approval will be given now from ICASA's side. So we're happy with the set of results. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Been a long time coming. And so it's a little bit good to be a bit more positive and on the front foot and rather be on the back foot for a change.
But if you look back through your history with the group, which extends way beyond the 13 years as CEO, it's always been a cornerstone of portfolios because it's always been an outperformer. But nowadays, that magic doesn't seem to be there. And why I say that is, if you were to buy Remgro today, you're buying it at 60 cents in the rand. You're at a discount of 40% on the Remgro share price to the value of the underlying assets. And I would wonder, I'd love to get your thoughts on that, because obviously that's the thing that does occupy your mind. But I'd wonder, how hard is your intrinsic net asset value number? Is that also a conservative figure, given that you can't always capture the true value in a balance sheet?
Yes, absolutely right, Alec. And I think the one thing that I just want to be upfront with is we don't determine the discount to NAV. The market determines that. The only thing that we can do is to make sure that the underlying companies perform well, that they generate cash flow, that we can got the ability to generate cash at the center, pay dividends. We even declared a special dividend today. And then the discount hopefully will narrow. I mean, it's been a thing lately of what has happened is, if you just look from an international point of view, I mean, discounts of holding companies is actually increased quite significantly over the last 5 years. So it's an international phenomenon, just not something that's applicable to Remgro. And maybe it's not the flavor of the month or the flavor of the decade of being investment holding company. We're very confident about the quality of our underlying portfolio and the valuations that we put on them. We applied the many discounts. When we do the valuations, we use discounted cash flow models, and then we do forecast risk discount, minority discounts, illiquidity discounts. So we're very confident about the real quality of our portfolio. And I think it bears the results of that. We see the great cash flow coming out of some of these companies, and we think we've got quality assets in a very muted economic growth environment. We've actually delivered a good set of results despite what the economy is around us is doing. And I think that shows the quality of the portfolio that we have.
I'm really coming at it as a member of the BizNews community who's looking there and saying, hey, I always like to buy 60 cents, a rand's worth of assets for 60 cents. But actually, I might be buying more than a rand's worth of assets because Remgro is a conservative. You guys aren't going to be doing any creative accounting. If anything, you'd be conservatively valuing in there. So is that just being over optimistic, or are you getting pretty close to true value now on the books?
I think, as I said, I mean, we do apply discounts on when we do the valuation. So I'm confident if we have to realize this portfolio and go out to the market, which we're not going to do because I think we've got a very specific purpose in the South African economy to fill. But I think we can get more than the asset value that we put the value, because we'll unlock the liquidity discounts and discounts that we put up. So I'm still think that we conservative value assets, you're probably getting more than the rand. Maybe you're right. But obviously, that is something that you will be in the proof of the pudding.
Do you then share any of the challenges that the guys at Naspers have, for instance? Because they have been buying back their shares aggressively for a long time because of the deep discount to their underlying value.
We've done that in the past when at the old Venfin days when we owned Vodacom was our big asset. We've done that extensively because we thought it was undervalued, especially the Vodacom valuation in those, I'm talking the early 2000s until 2006 when we sold it. And we've been buying back shares in Remgro as well. Unfortunately, sometimes what happens is there's circumstances beyond your control which you can't, because you've got insider info. For a long time, we've been trading because of the delisting of assets that we've been trading under with inside knowledge. And we don't buy back shares when we've got insider knowledge. It's not the way we do things. And then secondly, we were very unsure about the capital calls that we was going to be done on the Vodacom massive deal if the deal didn't come through. Because then we had to support that businesses. And then that's why we kept, let's call it, we had to keep a war chest. We didn't want to spend the money on buying back the own shares. Now probably the landscape have changed. We think the approval will be imminent. So CIVH will have another big partner, Vodacom, well capitalized. So we've got the capital to actually roll out in the underprivileged areas and in the mass market, which we think is a great strategy for CIVH and Massive. And so we think we will have some more cash on the balance sheet to, if we see compelling value in our shares, that we will buy back. We also want to increase the dividend, as we've done that, because some of our shareholders want to actually get a dividend. They like a good dividend flow. And then if they see value, they can use that cash flow of the dividend also to buy more Remgro shares if they want to. So I think it's a compelling argument to also pay good dividends to shareholders.
And the cash in the middle has also grown, especially in this past financial year.
We always, I think, if you recall correctly, in 2007, Mediclinic bought Hirslanden in Switzerland, which is the biggest private hospital group in Switzerland. And then they did a couple of rights issues as well to do certain transactions. And then for quite a while, we had actually a debt at the center. For the first time, we're debt-free because of a good cash flow generation and some of the assets that we've realized as well. And now suddenly we're sitting on quite a significant amount of cash.
So that brings up the next question. I've been talking to the guys a lot, the investment analysts, about this delisting wave that we're seeing on the JSE, because companies are just so cheap. Now, no one's going to come along and buy Remgro, but Remgro might be going along and buying other cheap assets. Are you seeing anything there that's starting to appeal to you?
Yes, I mean, I said this morning at the analyst presentation, we opened for business, we're looking for opportunities. Unfortunately, to commit in a very, let's put it mild, in a volatile environment, not just in the South African context, but on a global basis, what's happening out there, to commit a huge amount of money into investment where things is volatile at the moment and unsure at the moment. So your risk premium that you put on any asset that you actually want to buy, it becomes quite significant, and then the numbers doesn't always work. And so, but hopefully things will calm down in the future and we'll see more opportunities. But at the moment, I mean, you probably know it better than I, Alec, that the economy is not growing, high unemployment rates, consumer is not spending. So what we see in across all industries that we operate in, probably even that we don't operate, there's overcapacity because, I mean, the assembly lines, I mean, the production lines, they are not actually utilized fully. So there is capacity. So you don't need to put down new factories, and that doesn't create unemployment. So I don't see the situation getting much better in the short term unless we get economic pro-growth policies, getting the economy kicking again. And that is so critical for economic growth. So what is happening in no volume growth? So what we actually, so we're fighting other people in the market. And what is that we've done? Well, we gained market share across our companies. And that is what it's all about, because there's no natural tailwind. I think an indicator that I always use quite significantly is just the number of people on medical aid. That hasn't grown over the last 5 years. Actually, if you took the numbers, might have been stable, but the people are buying down, they're buying cheaper products in that. So it's actually going backwards. And it's very, very difficult for companies to actually have meaningful growth in this environment. Clearly, our companies, it's got a specific niche. I mean, Capitec has done a brilliant job in finding some of these niches. And that's what we'll continue looking to do, to find some of these jewels out there.
Mm. And you've got a heck of a portfolio, as I mentioned in the intro. This is South Africa Inc. in many ways. And if someone is looking to buy South Africa Inc., it's an easy way in through Remgro. But the story that you're telling us about South Africa Inc. is not a good one right now.
No, absolutely. And I think they just face the harsh fact. So, Remgro is a reflection of South Africa Inc. So we really link to the growth of the South African economy. But I think we've shown that we can outgrow the growth of the economy by having better quality assets, better management teams, and thinking outside the box and being innovative. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, long term, we also tied to the South African economy, which is not great. I mean, sitting at these high unemployment figures, the rates, is just unacceptable for a country of our stature.
So let's go back a little to the election in May 2024. It feels like another era. The election last year did have a surprise result for many people and a surprise consequence with the government of national unity. Lots of excitement. But it does appear as though the early glow, the honeymoon is over, and we haven't really seen much upkick in the economy. Are you seeing anything, any signs that you could share with the rest of society that can give us hope that there might be better days ahead?
Yeah, my glass is always half full, so maybe I can just share something. I think the one thing, I'm quite involved in some of these work streams of government where we talk about on the logistics side, on the energy side, as well as crime and corruption. So I think the support of the private sector and the resources we've made available, load shedding is dramatically better, and that also impacts on our results. Logistics is still a challenge, of the specific challenges with regard to the railways and Transnet and people moving slowly. And then the crime and corruption, although it's not so visible, but behind the scenes, we're making significant progress, helping South Africa getting off the grey list. Also, a digital evidence unit that we're making available to the NPA by the private sector, that the private sector has come to the party, and some other work streams as well. So there is, behind the scenes, a lot of things going on. It's like a duck on the top of the water, but the legs underneath are moving quite significantly. But these things doesn't happen overnight, Alex. I always say it's not a 20 game, it's like a 5-day game. We're probably on day 2 of the 5-day game, so we're still batting. But we positive to do it because we all live here and we want to make it work.
It is interesting the point you made. I had a WhatsApp from somebody, a member of our community, who said they were astonished. They were somewhere out on the west coast in the Cape, where they saw a 250 wagon train come past them with electric engines. So something's happening. Something that isn't in your face. But it does appear as though slowly, slowly, we're going forward now rather than going backwards. Is that your sense?
Yes, absolutely. Just to take your analogy further, I was in the Lowveld there at Kumatipoort, that corridor there through to Maputo, the train line that is actually working, standing next to the train line. So I was cycling next to it. In the hour, there was about 10 trains coming past and getting the coal off the roads and things like that. So it's starting to work. You can see certain some of these things. Absolutely. But yeah, but it's not, as I said, it's not a one-day game. It's going to be slow and it needs to come through and filter through.
So when you sit down with your team and you do strategy, your five-year plans, what are you projecting for 5 years? Being conservative in business, being accountable about risks, of course, you can't get terribly overly optimistic because it's going to cost you. But how do you guys scenario plan given where we are at the moment?
I think what we want to do as well is we want to make sure that we don't have too much gearing in the companies, even underlying companies. So that's why we come from not having gearing at the center. It's always very risky to have financial leverage on top of operational leverage. And that's when you actually go down very quickly. So you need to be careful about your balance sheet and that strong balance sheet. You need to carefully look at your cash flow generation and always to focus on the controllables, but be very much aware of the uncontrollables, what is outside your control, the impact that they can have on the business. And we've seen this movie many times in the past, and that always comes with of institutional memory when things like the feed price on the chicken side goes out of whack, the sugar prices goes out of whack, and suddenly you into very trouble. And then you've got, if you've got too much gearing at the centers, they teach you very quickly. I mean, it's a travesty what has happened in the last, last 6 months, that we see Goodyear, a seller of Mittal AMSA, the old Escor, is not there anymore. Oh, it's been a business to be winding down. And then Marion Roberts, a stalwart of the old industry, is not there anymore. It's a travesty to see this. And that is why, that's what we want to prevent. We might never be the outperformer, but we'll never bet the farm. And that's why we'll be there in 50 years' time. And we're in good times, we could do well. In bad times, we're quite an offensive strategy. Good, and I think we always do better in bad times against the opposition, because I think we've got good management teams and very strong cash flow generating assets, high quality assets.
And a lot of what you've said could actually be applied even in very small businesses. Just don't overgear, don't borrow too much. Keep your balance sheet strong, get your earnings quality up, etc. But Jannie, you mentioned Bet the Farm, and it's something that has, in this last week, has now raised concerns. This Driefontein Farm, portion 406, 32 hectares, outside of Ekurhuleni, which the Ekurhuleni Metro expropriated without compensation. Now, it's fine you expropriate it, and the owner said, fine, they can expropriate it, but they must pay us market value. Now they're going to court, and they've been at court on that thing now for 6 years. Surely, from where you're sitting, this must be worrying.
That will be worrying. If they can't win their court case, I think it's going to be very negative, highly negative consequences for South Africa if that can happen in that space. I'm not an expert on this, and I probably don't know all the facts, but from what I hear, they actually had development plans and the municipality stopped them, or that it was not a useless piece of land lying there. If that is productive land that people wanted to develop housing or whatever, and then they tried to expropriate in that manner, I think the consequences will be very, very negative.
And we were saying EWC, or we believed that EWC was just off the side, but now they, but again, you've got the EFF, who have the housing portfolio and the community development portfolio in the Ekurhuleni Metro. And as a consequence, they're pushing through their agenda. And I guess, one has to be aware of that. Just to close off with you on a happy note, if you have a look through the group, now I know many big organizations do this. They have an award ceremony and they have the star company. You got quite a few that would be bidding for that at the moment, where your assets are. Is there one that stands out for you that, not necessarily the best performer, but perhaps the best turnaround in the past year?
And it's a little bit like choosing between your children. And it's always difficult who's your favorite child. But maybe if I can give two words, I think for a consistent performer, actually surprising me, Outsurance, how many companies in South African context have actually made Australia work? And they've really done that. They didn't bet the farm in Australia, but they did it incrementally, and they've done a remarkable job, and now it's more profitable than the South African operation. Give them kudos for that. And I must say, if you look at our turnaround portfolio, although it's early days, I must say, on the Mediclinic side, of what they've achieved after COVID, empty hospitals, losing a lot of staff, things like that, coming back and actually the turnaround, the Middle East operation is pumping. South Africa is a very consistent performer on the hospital side. And then Switzerland, although it's coming off a low base, we can see things improving. But apart from the financial side, if you just look at the clinical performance of what they achieve across these three regions in terms of the promoter scores, the clinical outcomes, it's just unbelievable. I get on a regular basis emails from people that they compliment Mediclinic, not just in South Africa, across the world, of saving their lives, of the quality of care they get. So if you allow me, I'll give those two awards.
Fantastic. And the awards for the shareholders, how are you going to cut that discount? What are you going to do in the next 12 to 24 months that's going to cut the discount to net asset value? Or should we just go and pile up on the shares?
I don't think I can cut the discount, because the shareholders must decide that. But what we can do, and hopefully this is part of an early Christmas present, we've increased our final dividend by 34%. We paid out a special dividend of 2 rand. So it's a significant cash dividends that we're going to pay to our shareholders. Even if the discount still persists, which is outside of control, we'll make sure that we increase our dividend above inflation going forward and give good dividends to our shareholders.
And I guess for long-term shareholders, that's actually what matters, because if they're long-term, they're not going to be selling the shares anyway. They just want to see the dividends grow.
Absolutely. If you're long-term, your IRR and your share price, the dividends got an enormous influence off that. If you pay good dividends, it actually contributes a significant amount over long-term to your IRR.
Yoni Durant is the Chief Executive of Remgro. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.